I'm happy to see that people got the message that there's a mass tonight instead of this morning. I don't know if anyone came this morning, but we had to change the mass schedule because of a meeting that conflicted with our usual schedule. And so we have this mass tonight, and there's something beautiful about it. We don't always have a holy hour in the evening, but on Mondays we do. So this mass leads naturally into a time of adoration, just like our morning mass usually leads into a time of adoration. It's a very nice way to extend the prayer of the mass. But it's also fitting for today's saint, Saint Margaret Mary, who understood, because Jesus revealed it to her, the devotion to his Sacred Heart. And where better can we find the Sacred Heart than in the Holy Eucharist? So in a holy hour, we are honoring the Sacred Heart. In adoration, we are adoring the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that's something that the way I see this evening's prayer is Mass in honor of St. Margaret Mary, who honored the Sacred Heart, and then we honor the Sacred Heart in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I know not everyone can stay for the Holy Hour, but at least you know this, the idea. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, of course, is a heart of mercy, an abyss of mercy, an immeasurable expanse of mercy, like the ocean. Good to keep in mind when we read a gospel like this, which speaks about judgment and about condemnation. Let's look at this gospel for a moment. This comes from Luke chapter 11, right after what we heard last Saturday. Remember, in Saturday's gospel, a woman called out just from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." An attempt to honor the mother of Jesus. And then Jesus turned it around and said, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Remember? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And the best example of that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. But then, this is where we pick up with today's gospel, more people were gathering in the crowd. So right after Jesus said, this is what I'm really announcing here, what it really means to be blessed by God is to hear the word of God and keep it, like my own mother. And this crowd comes along and they are not intent on hearing the word of God and keeping it. They're an evil generation, and all they want is a sign. So maybe they want to hear the word, but they don't want to follow it. They want to see a miracle, but they don't want to be converted. They want to see Jesus, but they don't want to be his disciples. And that's evil. That's what he says. It's an evil generation. So Jesus, sounding very exasperated, says no sign is going to be given to this evil generation except the sign of Jonah. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand it. Jesus is not saying, "I'm giving up with you. Forget about you. You're evil." He's saying, no. The answer to evil is the sign of Jonah. It's not no answer. It's the answer. Because Jesus himself is the sign of Jonah. But let's go back to Jonah. We studied him last week, remember? Just a week ago today, we had three days of study on the Old Testament book of Jonah. And Jonah was sent to an evil generation, or an evil city, Nineveh, a wicked city. Jonah's idea was that because it's a wicked city, it should be destroyed. And that's kind of a common understanding or common mentality, even to this day, that wicked people should be destroyed. You see it happening right now in Israel. No. The wicked Hamas did a wicked thing last weekend, very wicked, and now Israel's saying, "Well, then, we're going to destroy you." And they're bombing the Gaza Strip. The idea is, you have to be destroyed. It's Old Testament mentality, right, on display here. But remember, Jonah was wrong. Jonah thought that Nineveh should be destroyed, just like Israel thinks that Gaza should be destroyed. Well, that's not The message of Jonah, the message of the book of Jonah, or that's not the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah has two dimensions. One of them is repentance, that even if you are a wicked city or an evil generation, you can change. That's what happened to the Ninevites, remember? Jonah finally went there and preached that they were going to be destroyed. And they said, oh, let's change. Let's repent. Let's show the Lord that we are forsaking our evil way. And God did not destroy the city. So the sign of Jonah points to the marvel of repentance. It's possible to turn away from sin, and when we do, God does not destroy us, because he doesn't want to destroy us in the first place. So this is an important thing to remember. That's why I said with the devotion to the Sacred Heart, we're talking about devotion to divine mercy, an ocean of mercy. We're not talking about a God who is intent on destroying evil people. That's not his mentality. It's not his philosophy. Even though sometimes that very motive is attributed to God by us, because that's how we think. We impute, or we place human motives on God and think, well, he must be like we are. We think evil people should be destroyed, therefore that must be what God thinks. But that's not how God thinks. And he reveals it when he reveals his heart. The second part of the sign of Jonah, of course, is the resurrection. Jonah came up out of the belly of the whale on the third day, and Jesus said that that's a sign of him. He's going to come up out of the tomb on the third day. Another sign that what God has in mind for evil people and evil generations is not death, but resurrection. That the punishment against the punishment for sin, which is death, Jesus took on himself so that we would not have to be destroyed. It's a very, very hopeful message. Now, that's the positive description of a very positive thing. Well, then why does Jesus talk about this generation being judged and being condemned? Because if we don't repent, if we refuse to repent, well, then we don't get the benefit of repentance, and we don't get the benefit of the resurrection. And that's terrible. Well, that's something like we heard in yesterday's gospel. Remember the gospel of the wedding feast? Great wedding feast. Great wedding feast. But not everybody got the benefit of it. In fact, the people who were invited didn't even go. So we can't blame the king for that. Okay. Now, the message of the resurrection comes up again in today's first reading. We start now reading from St. Paul's great letter to the Romans. We're going to be reading from the letter to the Romans for a couple of weeks. But here's the very first part of it. And Paul, identifying himself as one called, he calls himself a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart. He describes himself. And then he describes his mission. His mission is to make known what wasn't known before, what was only prophesied before in the prophets, and that what is to be made known is the gospel about the Son of God, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power through, according to the Spirit of holiness, through resurrection from the dead. At the very heart of this reading is the declaration that Jesus is risen from the dead. This is at the heart of the gospel. And Paul is saying, I've been given this mission to make known this good news, this great victory over sin and death, which is the resurrection, so that we can all, including the Gentiles, the evil Gentiles, in the mind of the Jews, these people who are not the chosen people, even the Gentiles can be saved, can be brought into the obedience of faith, what he calls the obedience of faith. Everybody. Even the Romans, this is written to the Romans, even the Romans can be saved if they obey in faith, if they repent, if they become disciples. So the invitation to be saved is extended to everybody. Everybody. Gentiles, sinners, Ninevites, the generation of the Jesus, the generation of Jonah, the generation of the Queen of the South, the generation of our own day, 2023. The Russians can be saved, the Ukrainians can be saved, the Israelis can be saved, the Palestinians can be saved. Everyone can be saved by submitting ourselves in faith to Jesus Christ, by accepting the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. So let's do that. And when we do it, we also place ourselves on his side, on Jesus' side, for the sake of those who are still not in the light. That's what we do when we pray and intercede and fast and make reparation. We say we're taking God's side, we're taking the side of the gospel for the sake of others too who don't yet know it. That's why the bishops have asked for a day of prayer and fasting tomorrow. You saw that message. A day of prayer and fasting tomorrow for peace in the Holy Land, because they don't know the path to peace. So those who do know have to do the spiritual work of applying the great gift of the gospel and of faith and of repentance to this very troubling current situation. So with faith in Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the sign of Jonah, we go forward and we join him in victory over sin and death.